This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin today's sermon, I'd like to remind you, if you weren't here, or I guess tell you if you weren't here last week, is that the latter part of today's gospel has to do with the same theme that I treated last week in my sermon. And so if you'd like to know about this separation at the end times and the wheat and the weeds and the sheep and the goats and the good fish and the bad fish that we heard about today, please listen to that sermon. There could be filled with 50 sermons on that topic. So today, we're talking about treasure. The end times are up to God. We're to be doing the work now and noticing treasure. Treasure. Last week, a friend of mine was telling me about something that happened with her and her sister when their mom died. And they had not realized how much jewelry she had. And when, after she died, when they were going through her things, there was amazingly valuable jewelry to be found. Something like 18 rings and necklaces and brooches and watches and rubies and diamonds and sapphires. They had no idea. Thank God they very, very jovially were able to split it up. Well, last week she was telling me this story, which reminded her of that story, and that she had a suitcase that had belonged to her mom, that she went on a trip, and they hauled this suitcase all over the place, checked it, it was thrown around, put on the conveyor belt. You know what's coming, right? Her mom also had had a habit of hiding things before she was going to give a present and then forgot they were there. So in this suitcase, she brought back home, unpacked it, and then went back to the pockets to be certain she had gotten everything out. And in the outside pocket, she reached down in the very bottom, there was this little pouch, pulls it up, and sure enough, there's two amazing rings with emeralds and diamonds and a sapphire. She couldn't believe it. The outside pocket. A treasure hidden, and she didn't know it. In my father's retirement, he was a treasure hunter. And he joined a treasure hunters club, and he had you're smiling, Ken, you remember. He had a metal detector that he'd take around with all of his friends, and the lifeguards at Boynton Public had his phone number, and if somebody lost a wedding ring, they'd call up him or one of his buddies, and I remember many times he'd run down to the beach and use his metal detector and find somebody's wedding ring, and he wanted no thanks in cash. He wanted just a thank you. And during his retirement, he also wrote a couple of books about ghost towns and side roads of Florida. And he wrote one called how to search an old house. And in the foreword, in the introduction, I was just rereading it this week. He wrote, "Whatever the method of recovery, the search is half the fun." And that was my dad. The search was half the fun. He loved looking for that treasure. Jesus talks about treasure today, hidden in our midst until we look. And he gives us the example of a mustard seed, of yeast, of a treasure hidden in a field, of a pearl of great value. And that mustard seed would grow and grow and grow until it could house birds and give them food. And the yeast that woman had kneaded into 3 measures of flour would be enough to make 100 loaves. Extravagance from that little tiny bit of yeast. And the field, the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl, both of them were so important to their owners that they sold everything they had for that treasure and that pearl. That is the importance of the Holy Spirit in our midst, of the kingdom of heaven in our midst, of the presence of God in our midst. So important. And also seen, and maybe especially in the very ordinary ways of life. What seems impossible to us is possible to God. What seems hidden to us is oh so apparent to God. And we're called to look for that treasure, to search. And in that search, to find joy and to have and look with the eyes of Christ. And to see with those eyes of Christ, to give up our lives to live in the way of God, is like Jacob. It was that kind of a love that we heard about in the Old Testament. He had that deal with Rachel's dad, Laban, remember? He said, okay, I'll work for 7 years so that I can have Rachel as my wife. 7 years he works, 7 years is over. Laban says, oh, no, 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 that can't be the deal. We don't do things like that. He could have told him that in the beginning. So he said he had to marry the older sister, that's how things were done. So Jacob says, fine, I'll do whatever. What do I have to do to have Rachel? Wasn't pleased about it, but he was willing. He said, work another 7 years. So he worked another 7 years. He was willing to give up his life for that love and for what he knew he was led to do. I wonder what would be that important to us, what we would be willing to die for or to give up our lives in this world. We all search for belonging, for family, closeness, for work that gives us some kind of fulfillment, to be appreciated for who we are as ourselves in our own identity. I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit today of the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of the ordination of women to the priesthood in the Episcopal Church. Talk about permission to live into your identity. Until 38 years ago, it wasn't authorized. And I say 38 because 40 years ago, 11 brave women with some very courageous retired bishops were ordained in Philadelphia as priests in the Episcopal Church. And the preacher that was there, by the name of Dr. Charles Willie, said, I participated not because I wanted to speak out, but because I could not remain silent. Bishop Ramos of Costa Rica, who was there, in explaining his participation, said, the only way to do justice is to challenge injustice. And finally, those 2 years later that I mentioned, is when the General Convention of the Episcopal Church authorized and approved, after much debate, that those ordinations would stand and that those women could be priests in the Episcopal Church. And it would be 13 years later that Barbara Harris would be consecrated as the first bishop in the Episcopal Church, and another 15 years later, until we had a woman as the head of one of our provinces within our worldwide Anglican communion, like we do right now. Bishop Catherine Jefford Shorey is our presiding bishop, and she's the only woman in the whole worldwide communion that heads up one of our churches as a primate. It's amazing. And there are still people to this day who would deny what is like our very breath for those of us as women who are called to the priesthood. Our identity was hidden. Who knew that treasure that would be there for the entire church? And God breaks in when we least expect it, like with those courageous women and those courageous bishops. Creeps in, and it's right here in front of us in the everyday and in the ordinary, in our relationships especially, hidden treasure to work out whatever is difficult. And God sees that as divine and walks with us in those human situations that can be oh so trying. And in the beautiful, beautiful words of Paul, probably in my opinion, one of the most beautiful scripture in the whole Bible that we heard today from Romans, we're reminded this treasure here and now of God in our midst and that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's power in that to heal relationships, to heal any kind of strife that we have. But we have a hard time recognizing it. I know I do sometimes. When I'm right in the midst of something I think is so important and I have to be right, we miss that treasure hidden in the side pockets of our lives. We miss it. And it's in the ordinary. A priest I knew in D.C. named William Barnwell gave a sermon about today's readings some 6 years ago when I was up in D.C. And he said, he gave a story about a friend of his in New Orleans, a doctor who worked at Charity Hospital before it was blown over by Hurricane Katrina. And he was making rounds one night, and he approached the bed of a man who was an indigent. He was there, he was a welfare patient, and he was dying, and he had no one with him. He was alone. And as he came up, the guy says to him, "Doc, that priest fellow came by a little while ago and said some nice words, but what I need tonight is something for the pain. And someone to sit with me and to hold my hand while I'm dying." Well, that doctor did stay, holding the old man's hand until it went limp. And a voice from far off told him that it was over. And then that priest, my friend William Barnwell, preached these words. And I quote, "I know it takes a leap of faith to imagine God through Jesus being there every time a child is hurting, a mother is weeping, a lonely old man is dying, a bomb is exploding, every time we hurt beyond what we can endure. I know it takes a leap of faith to imagine Jesus being there. We must move out on our faith journey from where we are, not from where we would like to be. If it is hard for you to imagine Jesus being with you when you are hurting the most, then think of how we can be there for one another during those sad, those hurting times, like my friend, the doctor at Charity Hospital. We can be fully present to others, and we can let others be fully present to us. We can do that. Belief in God who is with us will follow." End quote. It was just too powerful for me not to quote him. I remember that sermon to this day. We miss it. And in reviewing my dad's book, Search, this past week and rereading it, I realized that I didn't treasure that relationship back then. I mean, we always got along well, but I didn't treasure it like I do now. Maybe that's the wisdom of getting older. So I think our message today, one of them, is for us to notice. Notice, especially one another and in our relationships, the hidden presence of the kingdom of God. And I close with these words from Rainer Maria Rilke in her Book of Hours, Love Poems to God. "I believe in all that has never yet been spoken. I want to free what waits within me so that what no one has dared to wish for may once spring clear without my contriving. If this is arrogant, God, forgive me, but this is what I need to say. May what I do flow from me like a river, no forcing and no holding back, the way it is with children. Then in these swelling and ebbing currents, these deepening tides moving out and returning, I will sing you as no one ever has, streaming through widening channels into the open sea." Amen.